My mama said don't forget to wear your jacket, the world can get cold. And every leaf in the breeze has a story that's told. Don't be scared to flap your wing, baby boy, you got soul. No matter what goes down, pony boy, you stay cold. I had a sidekick with the crack screen back then, and this girl wouldn't talk to me. Back then I had a hole in my t-shirt. Back then, yeah, my feelings used to be hurt. Buying clean in my 97 Camry, yeah. That's my green bitch. All my friends, I ain't have room for all of them. Yeah, gas money, I fear all of them.
Welcome back to the Movie Draft House. I'm your host Mark, and I'm joined by co-host Jeff.
Good day to you, sir. How we doing?
Good day to you indeed.
It is almost Christmas.
Almost.
Are you ready?
Christmas.
Have you prepared?
Every year I'm like, oh, am I ready? Am I ready? I look at the tree and I look at the presents and I'm like, ooh, there's an empty space. I need to fill it.
Wish I was your kid. I would just hide presents and then you just keep filling them up.
Like, why do they keep disappearing? Anyways, before we get into what we watched this week, we got to plug some music, and we want to give great big present to the New York alt-hip-hop band Oxymorons for allowing us to use their music here on the podcast with the song Moon Chasers. They're doing big things. Hit the show notes, get all the links to their social media accounts, and give a like, follow, and a subscribe. They're doing big things. A little bit of... what do I call it? Groveling? Not groveling. Where I ask
pandering?
Pandering. Yes. Okay. Good. I like that word. A little bit pandering to Oxymorons. We have to apologize.
Well, that's
because. I mean, we're gonna pander.
Okay. Good. As long as we get
but,
the pandering.
I used the wrong band photo. when I plugged them on,
was it the Spice
the social
Girls?
Media? No, and I feel bad because like I googled, you know, their band photos, and I used one. I thought it was them because I looked at another picture. And I was like, yeah, that's them, and I posted it, and then they commented. And they're like, don't know where you got that photo. That's not us.
So they like, saw fuck. You fuck up.
Yeah, right.
Awesome. Now they know what they're dealing
with. We're professionals here on the podcast.
Now
so
they know what they're dealing with.
I quickly deleted the wrong post because, you know, on X, Twitter.
You're your own oxymoron.
I am my own oxymoron. But on X, you can't, unless you pay Elon Musk, you can't delete your shit or edit your shit.
Oh, edit. So, yeah.
So I had to delete the post and then repost with. But they were nice enough. They chastised, but then they offered up correction. And they gave me a good photo to use. So, that's the photo I ended up using. Anyways, that's a little behind the scenes of the trials and tribulations of being your own social media manager.
Yep. That's why I leave it to you. I never fuck up on social media because I don't touch the stuff.
Right. Anyways, Jeff, what do we watch this week?
Well, it is R-rated Christmas movie month, my friends. And so far, we went 2 for 2. Can we do it again with another good film? Mark picked Anna and the Apocalypse from 2017. It is a musical horror comedy. One of the reviews says it's Shaun of the Dead meets La La Land. I feel like that's kind of accurate. Another review calls it this year's feel-good Christmas movie. I think they are being sarcastic. But it's directed by John McPhail. It stars Ella Hunt, Malcolm Cumming, Sarah Swire, Ben Wiggins, and Paul Kane. None of them are...
At the time, they were relatively unknowns. That's what I read when they were casting this film.
I'm wondering, are they like... musical performer, like stage performers,
like theaters. I don't know
because from what I can tell by listening to the soundtrack and looking at things, everybody performed their own singing.
Yeah.
which is always for the best. You know, in a musical, you kind of want the performer to be the one performing, the actor to be the one singing. And as far as I could tell, no one got away with having someone else do it for them.
It's I mean, the soundtrack's awesome. It's very so when I first saw the trailer for this, and that led me to pick the movie, I was like, man, this looks really fun, right? It's a genre blend, and it's Christmas movie. It's not really a Christmas movie. It's Christmas time movie. I don't know if we really hit the theme with them. With this,
it's close enough to me because it saturates most of the elements, though.
It does.
Like,
it
one does. Of the zombies is Santa. One of the zombies is a right. snowman. She's yeah. beating the shit out of people with a candy cane.
Right.
So I'm fine with it. It's not, in my opinion, like Die Hard, where it happens at Christmas. I think Christmas is part of the movie. It's just not a movie about Christmas spirit. And yeah. I think that's where I would draw the line. But to me, it's undeniably taking place at Christmas. One of the characters has a light up Christmas sweater. And yeah. I mean, and at the very end of the movie, one of the last lines is Merry Christmas. So I'm fine with
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I mean, but like when I was watching the trailer and I heard some of the music, and it never dawned on me to go listen to the soundtrack before the, and I didn't even listen to any of it. Soundtrack wise until you told me to go listen to a song that wasn't in the movie.
Right.
Which is only 39 seconds.
It's a good song though. I like Fish, Mother Flipper. It's so stupid. I wish it was in there. Cause I think it was the bullies. Like the, yeah. there's the main, I don't even want to call him the bad guy, but there's the handsome douchebag at the school, Ben Wiggins, and he's got a crew, and I think it's them. What I picture in my mind for that song is that it's those bullies or whatever in line at school to get their food, and they're just talking about fish, and it's awesome. I wish that scene, maybe it's a deleted scene and I can find it. I don't know, but I wish it yeah. happened. But yeah, no. the soundtrack.
No, it's but the music here is very it's very theater-esque, I would say. A lot of it, I mean, good choreography. And I should say that this film isn't top budget, right? Very, very mid-budget film. And I think that's evident because they don't show a lot of the gore. And so that would tend to make me think that they didn't have a budget for, you know, the prosthetics or
right.
you know that type of stuff. But it's the music that really makes the movie, to me anyways, because and I do enjoy what's her face, Ella Hunt's performance here.
She's a really good singer too. Yeah,
she's really good. And Malcolm Cumming as well. He had some of his own songs, but
he performed in tandem with her. I think underrated as Sarah Swire. I thought her, really honestly, across the board, I thought everyone was great. The only person who's singing, I would be like, was Paul Kane, who played the headmaster.
Oh, yeah.
He was kind of iffy at parts, but he makes up for it by his actual acting performance being incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the film, it's a movie about, a zombie outbreak or, something that turns people into zombies. And, these kids are just trying to stay alive throughout the movie. There's really no real big plot here, right? It's just a survival.
Yeah, it's a survival movie. I think like the big things are there's two separate groups. There's the folks at the school, which is mostly adults, and then there are our teenagers who are grouped together, and they're trying to make their way to the school, as that's supposed to be the safe zone where the military is going to come and save them and pick them up and all that shit. I agree, like, that seems like a very kind of normal plot for zombie films, just survive the night. I think where the movie excels is in its character work. Obviously, the music, and we'll get into that, but I think the characters are really great. There's characters you think are going to end up one way, but end up another. You know, I think my favorite character arc is that of Ben Wiggins, who plays Nick, yeah, the douchebag boyfriend.
I think he has the best song, too.
Oh, so, well, I guess let's get into it. Determining how I determined my favorite song is I listened to the soundtrack, and the song that I kept repeating the most was his song, Soldiers of War.
Yeah.
I love that song, and I really love his falsetto. The best form of defense is attack. Just, I and there are a lot of great songs. Like,
yeah,
I love the song when they're going to school in the morning and they got their earbuds in, and you know,
the
it's a brand new day, and there's I'm miles away, and there's zombies behind them and stuff, and chaos. Really, really love that. And then there was there was one song that I really liked, which was Human Voice, which they sing as sort of they realize shit's going down. They're like bombing the zombies or whatever. But the problem with that song is it doesn't actually fit the movie. Like, it's a song about social media and how people miss actually having conversations, which I found weird. The tone of it, like the musical tone of it, fit, right? It was this somber, sad thing, and you could almost relate, hey, I want to hear a human voice. I want to hear that someone I know is okay, but that's not actually what the song is about. That would be my only critique. But, and then the other song that I really liked was Hollywood Ending, which basically tells you,
yeah,
this is not going to be
right.
A happy movie.
When that song, I mean, it's foreshadowing, right? And it's very clever to use a song to foreshadow, you know, some not really spell out what the event is going to happen, but when what's his face died,
John Malcolm Cummings.
John, yeah. I was shocked, right? And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. They fucking sang a song.
Yeah. And like, the thing I like too is, so like, his portion of that song is that he's got the hots for Anna. Mm-hmm. He's been in the best friend zone pretty much their entire relationship, but he's wanting more. And there's a scene where she essentially shuts that down. She says, listen, you're my best friend. And he's like, yeah, da 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 da. And you're my best friend. And it's never going further than that. She sets the boundary. This is what it is. Our relationship isn't going to ever be more than that. And the song tells you that. Like, the song is like, if this were a movie, which it is, but, you know, that's kind of what's clever about it. She would see me as something more than a friend, and he isn't. And then he gets killed, right? So, like, that's a double thing. Like, you expect someone to get killed. Like, you expect the douchebag boyfriend to get fucked up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he doesn't. And as a matter of fact, he's probably the coolest character.
Yeah, right? No, he has a classic anti-hero arc, right?
Yeah.
Where, you know, he starts out as bad, then he's kind of, you know, making the circle around to the redemptive. And then by the end of the movie, you know, he's really our hero. I was really bummed. It was like the turning point in the movie for me. Not really a turning point, but like it made me sad, like watching the movie, because I was very invested. And that's sign of a good musical, is when the music can make you feel something for a character.
It doubles down.
Yeah.
The thing about musicals, I think it's able to evoke emotion in a much more intense way. I don't want to say better, but in an intense fashion with the music. And I think without the music, this movie is fine, right? It's a pretty good, decent, I would say, zombie movie. Yeah. But the musical numbers really elevate it.
Well, and the musical numbers, along with the choreography, it just It's different. It's like watching, what was the other musicals that we watched? What was the one with Andrew Garfield?
Oh, Tick Tick Boom.
Tick Tick Boom. Really good movie, right?
I couldn't tell you one musical number from that movie, though.
No, right. I mean, I couldn't tell you the name of the song, but I can tell you like the parts.
You couldn't
of the movie
even tell me the name of the movie, bro.
I couldn't, okay. But like he where him and what's her face from High School Musical are they're rehearsing and they're singing back and forth to each other and they're finishing the lines of the song. Yeah, that's the one that comes to mind. But anyways, like this made me think of that film as far as like musical numbers adding on the performances of the music adding on to the emotion of the character.
Yeah.
And so when John dies, I was like, fuck, man. Cause I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for him to the relationship and he's trying real hard. And
he's
then,
really nice. Like he doesn't have faults.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Like as far as a character goes, he's a good guy. And really the core five characters all are pretty good, right? Like they
they're like flawless characters.
Yeah.
But like when he died and then I go back and I think about it, I was like, well, you know, they sang the song about it, and then he realizes it, and then he chooses to sacrifice himself, right? And so I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense now. Thinking back on it, it makes sense that this character coming to the realization that he's never going to be with the person he wants, and just kind of making the decision, hey, they'll eat me.
Yeah.
in order to save you.
Fucked too, because of the bite, right?
Right.
And I think this is something in zombie movies that always works, right? Just a minor flesh wound is,
yep.
Oh, well, I'm dead. You know, and there's that period of time between when you turn that can really create some really emotional scenes. Because I've never really been scared of zombies, right? Like when I watch a zombie movie, I never am like, oh shit, here they come. Like it just, it's not as scary as like fucking Pennywise or whatever, you know, like I just find those to be a little more intense. Like zombies are to me just fun, violent, schlocky fun.
Right.
But
gore fest. You'd think about zombies, you think of chopping off body parts and heads and, you know, right.
Good stuff. And I think that this movie does a great job of using zombies as a way to heighten the stakes, get the story moving, and having the stakes be really high, which works across the board for me.
Well, in the movie, kind of takes its time getting to the zombies, right? And I mean, we get introduced to all the characters.
It really does, but it, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's not wasted time, right? But
musical numbers and stuff.
Yeah,
and, like
takes its time. It introduces the characters. We get from the very first scene where Anna and John are in the car with her dad, and
hey,
she tells him,
back.
"I'm not okay. I'm not going to the to university. I'm going to take a year off." And you know, she essentially establishes that, "Hey, I'm going to buck the norm, and I'm going to do my own thing." And we get introduced to her and her dad's relationship. My dogs are going nuts in the background right now. But we're introduced to their relationship and we find out that it's not the best, right? And her mom has passed away from something, illness, I guess. And it's not really a reference, but we do know that she's dead. And it's just her and her dad, and you know, they leave this opening scene as the car, and they get to school, and that's the last word she says to her dad is, you know, they have this argument, and she says, "I hate you," or something like that. And then we find out that he works at the school too, and he's not the janitor, but he's kind of the do-it-all guy at the school. It's because somebody makes fun of Anna's dad later on, and she defends him, and she's like, he's not the janitor. But I really thought that from the first scene, it is, it establishes that this is going to be a movie with heart, is because we have Anna, who has these lofty dreams of after high school, her dad, who wants her to do essentially the smart thing and go to college, and her best friend John, who is, you know, just kind of along for the ride. And so, I really thought that it was a very effective first scene. I guess we're gonna wait for Jeff to come back because I'm just talking to myself. But I'm gonna rank since he's gone. I don't know where he went.
Oh my gosh! Wait till you see the video.
I hope.
And my face. So I had this is what. So let's peek behind the curtain real quick. Okay. I don't know what you talked about. You'll have to repeat yourself. But
I'm not. I just talked about the first scene of the movie.
Okay. Normally we record in the evening.
Yeah.
Around 9 p.m.
Yeah.
But because of scheduling, today we're recording in the morning. You know what happens in the morning?
You got to poop.
I got to fucking poop. And I thought I could. I thought I was good. And then my body said, bitch, this is happening with or without you. Anyway, so Anna and the Apocalypse.
Anyway, I just got done telling everybody why I thought the entire first scene where they're in the car on the way to school, and she tells her dad that she doesn't want to go to college, at least not right away, and he kind of is like, why are you being dumb? Do the smart thing. And then she tells him, I hate you, as the last words that she says to him at the school. And then we find out that he's the janitor at the school, but he's not really a janitor, but
he
gets
going
called
to be
the janitor.
Right. He's like the facilities guy.
Right.
He was being a douchebag in that scene. She's an adult. Well, like, if she wants to spend some time seeing the world, have at
sure.
it. You can go back to college. Like,
but it's not that easy. Liz, I'm gonna tell you, as the father of a young woman that just got done with her school, I've had that conversation. I've had the conversation of, hey, you know, it could be easy to step away, but is it easy to come back? And so it's relatable, I think. And you know the character may have gone about it in the wrong way,
yeah,
but I thought the idea that he was trying to convey of hey, this is, don't do the irresponsible thing, go to college, get it done, and then go see, you know.
Yeah, but what happens if you die while you're in college? I mean,
that's true.
Like,
but what happens if you die 30 seconds from now?
Then hey, you, yeah, exactly. Life is short. I just felt like, because of his extreme reaction, had he taken a more measured approach, which I'm sure you did with your daughter, is, hey, you sat down, you said, here's my concerns, you know, maybe hard for you to get back into it, and that's been the scene, then we'd be fine, right? But
the scene is effective because it establishes the relationship, and we get a peek at, you know, the relationship isn't great. You know, they're pretty standoffish towards each other, and then the last word she says as she gets out of the car, I hate you. And then she doesn't see him again till the very, you know, towards the end of the movie.
Right.
And so it's effective, right? The first scene, it completely lays out, you know, the recall of, at the end of the movie, why we needed to care about this interaction. You know, why she needs to get back to her dad is because the last time she saw him alive, she said, yeah, I hate you. And I just, you know, it's good storytelling, and there was no music. You're right. It's just good writing. And I just thought that's effective first scene, and it kind of lays the groundwork of why she needs to get back to her dad the entire film. And I appreciate little small scenes like that, because it wasn't long. It was like a 5-minute scene. And so I enjoyed that, and it's a good introduction to the characters, right? Anna, headstrong. John, you know, kind of just long for the ride guy. And then Dad, who...
douchebag. But what you get is, like, through this plot, though, you find out that he doesn't make a lot of money.
Right.
You know, and so that's probably...
Mom is dead.
That was the thing that got me. Is your mother could see you now. Asshole. And then he rectifies it later. You know, parents say things in the heat of the moment that
sure
they don't mean. I've not said anything this bad, though, you know.
Parenting's hard. Listen, I can imagine being a single dad of, you know, 18, almost 18-year-old, however old she is.
Yeah.
And you know, trying to convey... you know, to a headstrong daughter, you're making the wrong choice and saying something that you regret.
So I'll tell you a story about my dad. So I was like 16, 17, had a job washing dishes, and I just wanted to hang out with my friends that day. So I told my dad, I think I'm going to quit. And my dad, he goes, okay, why? And I was like, I just don't want to do it anymore. He goes, well, son, it's your decision, but I don't support this decision. And then he just left it at that. And I took my ass to work that day. And I just, you know, like, it just was the right way to handle it, right?
Yeah.
Let them make their decision, you know? And I just.
Me and my oldest daughter kind of have that, that bond, right? Where I can just say, hey, this is not the decision you should be making, and she'll come around to it, right?
Yeah.
My youngest daughter, you gotta lay it out, right? It's because he's full steam, and you're like, hey, don't be dumb, but you know, it's a relationship with a father figure, and really this movie is Anna's relationship with her dad. And I feel like at the end of the movie, I don't necessarily think we get a good enough payoff. It's because I thought the scene was very short, where dad's dying.
Yeah. There are things in that scene that I really like, though, but they don't have to do with Anna. Honestly, our main character should have been Nick. Because like when they find Nick, he is basically all in on being a zombie killer. He loves this shit.
Yeah.
And that's his musical number, and you know, he's the top of his class. While you guys have been hiding, I've been kicking ass. It's one of the lyrics. And you find out, like, later on in the film, she's like, have you ever done anything that wasn't selfish? And he says, yeah, I killed my dad. You know, my dad got bit, and he said, do the right thing, don't punk out, or whatever, something along those lines. So you get the idea that Nick killed his own dad before he turned into a zombie. And then at the end of the movie, Anna's dad has been bit, and Anna asks, do you want me to help? And we know what that means. And Nick steps in and goes, no. Like...
yeah.
He know, like, he's like, listen, I did that and it's not a good thing. Don't. And her dad's like, yeah, he's right. You know, and I just, that moment to me was the best part of that scene. But again, it's this side character who is the more interesting character in their background, right? Like, we've seen estranged parents before, but you've got this guy who hides his wounds behind a tough exterior. And to me, that's the more relatable character.
And you're right. Really effective scene, even though I didn't think it was long enough.
Yeah.
It is effective. And what you're saying about these side characters being very fleshed out, I feel like we got that with Sarah Swire's character, Steph. And Because when we find out that she doesn't have anybody, like her parents just up and left her to fend for herself and go to Mexico or wherever.
Yeah, and I wonder...
And the movie takes place in England, by the way.
Yeah, or I think it's actually Glasgow, which is...
It might be Scotland, yeah.
She,
which is a part of England?
It's not. It's a part of the UK. It's not part of England. It's a part of the UK.
Depends on who you ask.
People from Scotland.
Right.
So, yeah, Steph Swire. And the interesting thing about her character is so much is undone. Or not... like, her story, you hear it. Mm-hmm. But we never actually see a lot of the things. Like, we see a quick picture of her parents in Mexico. We don't know why. We do know that she's a gay character. Did they leave because they were disowning her? Or are they just dipping for a vacation? Either way, it seems to have affected her and hurt her that her parents left without her. And then the other part is that she has a girlfriend somewhere else. I don't remember where they say where, but it may be in another city, and she's wanting to make sure they're okay. And we don't get closure on that. And and sometimes that's a bad thing, but I think in this movie, it really kind of adds a realism and an unpredictability to the plot, right? Because the movie spends a lot of time subverting expectations of, hey, the nice guy's going to get the girl. No, he doesn't. He dies, in fact. Hey, this douchebag's going to get eaten by zombies. No, he doesn't. He's actually kind of the hero in a lot of ways. And here's this character with these open threads, these open story plots of her parents and her girlfriend. And we don't ever find out, because in this world, they don't have the cell phone towers are down, which frankly, honestly, probably wouldn't happen. At least as quick as it does in this film. But
zombies is ribbing up.
Right. I mean, I guess it could, but anyway, but it isolates everyone to their immediate vicinity. So she's got no way to check in, and she's no way to get news from her girlfriend. And by the end of the film, you don't know.
Yeah.
And I think
but
that
she is one of our surviving characters, though.
Right. She survives along with douchebag Nick, who's awesome, and Anna, and the movie ends with, what do we want to do next? And then the movie just ends, because what do you do next? The world is ending.
Yeah, and I mean, 2017, that's a while now, and I feel like if there was going to be another film, it would have probably already happened by now. But I genuinely really enjoyed this movie. Like, from start to finish, and we're talking, what, it's an hour and a half? Hour and a half. And there's some of it that I'm like, a bigger budget where I probably would have made that look better. But it's so good from just the performances that the zombies are just background, really. You know, they're a means to kind of move things along. And like, there's certain plot points that involve zombies, but for the most part, the zombies are just kind of the plot, the setting of this film. And so, you know, once you wrap your head around, hey, this isn't going to be your big budget gore fest, right? Then you can kind of be like, okay, I'm on board with it being in the background and getting these characters and the music, you know, as the star of the show. And so, I really enjoyed it. What about you?
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Before we start moving into closing, I tried to find the budget and I couldn't find the budget, but this movie financially tanked.
Right.
It made about $500,000, a little more than that worldwide, $500,000, in the States, and opening weekend about $50K. That's horrible. And I don't know why. This movie kicks ass. I don't know how. I mean, I never heard of it, so I guess advertising would be the big thing. But This movie is awesome, and to piggyback off you, hour and a half. It felt a little longer than that, but in a good way. Like I felt like they got a lot of stuff in that hour and a half time frame. I think this is fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah. The reason why we haven't seen anything else from this universe is
it flopped
because no money was made on
right.
It. But I mean, I feel like you could probably turn this into a series of, you know,
holiday based zombie musicals.
Yeah, something. I looked at Ella Hunt's filmography. She hasn't really done anything since of note that I would say, which is interesting, is because she's really good. Here in this film, she's a really good singer, and so maybe she is a theater actress by trade, and this was kind of just a step out of the theater realm for her. But I wouldn't mind getting more of her, because she's a young enough actress to where she could probably be cast in a number of different things, and you can get longevity out of her in Hollywood. But it's just weird. It's weird how movies like this come along and you're like, man, that was a really good movie. How come we haven't seen more from these people? And it's just like, oh, I don't know. They just disappeared. We're good.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because I think this is definitely what you would call a hidden gem.
Yes.
I really like the musical numbers. I really like the characters. So let's do a little thing that we do on occasion. Do you have a Mount Rushmore of zombie films?
Ooh.
I had trouble picking a fourth.
I would think it's probably not a Rushmore, because I'm not a big zombie film
right.
fan like Dawn of the Dead. Name some other zombie movies.
Here's the three that I immediately put on my list. Which would be the original black and white Night of the Living Dead. I really like that movie. It's also in the public domain, so you can find it on YouTube, and it's free, and you can do whatever you want with it. Zombieland, which is...
Oh, yeah, Zombie. Okay.
Maybe my favorite.
Yeah.
And then Anna and the Apocalypse. Those were the three I had. So the other one, you know, I was like, Shaun of the Dead... I didn't enjoy it as much as other people did.
Best movie, though.
It's fine. You know, Girl with All the Gifts, I saw. It was fine. So I really just have three that I would say are good enough to be up there.
All right. So when did we have Musical Month? Was it this year or last year?
It was this year. No, last year, because it was last year.
And so we had The Greatest Showman. We had with Meatloaf.
What is that? Stage Fright?
Stage Fright. And then Little Shop of Horrors, right?
Yep.
Now you have those four and this one.
Mm-hmm.
Remove one.
Remove one?
All right, let me rephrase. Do you take one from musical month and then put Anna and the Apocalypse in musical month?
Yeah.
Or do you leave Anna?
No, you take Stage Fright out.
Okay.
Because and I didn't hate that movie. It was fine. But what was interesting about it was, to me, a horror movie that was a musical. And here this one comes along and blows the doors off of it. You know, this is a good one. It's not just a curiosity like Stage Fright was. So
I would agree. There's something to be said for a good musical, and they don't come around all that often.
No, they don't.
And so the fact that this one came out in 2017 and neither one of us had seen it, heard of it, anything, it's like, wow, that's crazy.
I got my fourth movie.
Okay.
Train. Boy, it's a body function episode today. Train to Busan. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
It's a Korean film.
Oh, zombie. Yeah, 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 yeah. That movie, that's awesome.
I definitely have four definitive zombie films that I really love.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah, Train to Busan. I don't know.
You said yes to Zombieland.
Yes to Zombieland and the apocalypse, Train to Busan, and then probably the original remake of Dawn of the Dead? Was it Dawn of the Dead?
Yeah, Dawn of the Dead is the second movie. I think it was just Night of the Living Dead. There was a remake in 1990.
Maybe I'm thinking of the one in 2004, the Zack Snyder one.
Oh God,
is it Zack Snyder?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did some.
Maybe I'm thinking of that one. James Gunn wrote that movie, by the way. Dawn of the Dead, 2004.
Yeah,
interesting. That's crazy. Anyway, so you recommend it. I recommend it.
It's great. Three for three,
and we're going to ruin it next
week. No, it's going to continue. We got to have a positive mental attitude.
What are we watching next week?
Next week, we are going to watch New Year's Evil. And the more I think about it, the more I'm on board with what I've done here because, you know, the day after Christmas is like, the Christmas season kind of winds down, and you're really in the New Year's season. So who wants to watch a Christmas movie after Christmas? Not me. So we're watching one of the only ever New Year's movies, New Year's Evil from 1980, runs for 1 hour 25. It's on various free platforms to watch. It's going to be a great day. I'm watching it next to Mark so I could look at his face as he watches some old shit.
and we got a new couch for the room, baby. So we're gonna be
fall asleep. You know, like the room you have is my dream room. Like I would just be in that room all the time, mostly asleep.
So now I can because like I don't have to move my PS5. I got the PlayStation Portal.
You picked it up?
Yeah. It took me a while.
Pretty heavy. It
was sold out everywhere.
Oh, okay.
No. It's pretty light actually. It's lighter than the Switch.
Yeah.
But now I can be in that room and play my PS5 without having to move my PS5 and still keep my PS5 where the big TV is. Picked up this couch that it was a chore getting into this room. Because it's pretty long, but that's what she said. Anyways, the guy who directed New Year's Evil also directed the 1993 film Little Ninjas.
What the hell is that?
And the synopsis is a treasure map found by three young boys allows them reason to get their Woo! Kicks in more ways than one.
2.3. Oh, yikes. Out of 10.
Hey, wait, have we
I've never seen Little Ninjas. I've seen Three Ninjas.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of Three Ninjas.
Yeah.
I got it. All right.
Little Ninjas. Good Lord. Hell no.
This guy, if you go to his filmography, it's the craziest shit. This guy, Emmett Alston.
Nine Deaths of the Ninja. I wonder if that's a sequel. Although Little Ninjas comes out later.
We got new. So he directed New Year's Evil, Nine Deaths of the Ninja, Tiger Shark, Demon Warp, Force of the Ninja, Across the Killing Bay, and then Little Ninjas. This man,
can you think of a director with cooler names to his movies? I don't think you can.
He literally has a movie named Tiger Shark.
He has Tiger Shark Demon Warp, which alone the name is like, what the fuck's going on there? Nine Deaths of the Ninja might be the greatest film title of all time. Across the Killing Bay? Oh.
I don't know.
Incredible.
Man. You might have outdone yourself.
Emmett Alston chronologically at some point. Don't worry about it.
We're going to...
Three-Way Weekend. This is the synopsis for Three-Way Weekend. Two bisexual girls go camping. Now, this is 1979. Two bisexual girls go camping in the woods and are followed around by a pervert guy in a gorilla mask and a man in a uniform with a whip who thinks everyone is a communist. Strange sexual encounters ensue, and other people show up out of nowhere. They do drugs, and an incomprehensible plot follows. What the fuck? How have I never watched this? Holy shit.
A movie that can only be made in 1979.
that synopsis kept getting more incredible. You have to admit that you want to watch this now.
I mean, yes. It's going to be a race. It's going to be a race to the number one spot of worst films we've watched this year. I tell you that.
Three-way weekend? Are you talking about?
I'm talking about New Year's.
Yeah, three-way weekend. No way, that's bad. Did you hear what I said? A man in a
It's also his mask. Highest. It's also it's his highest rated film. Three-way weekend.
Oh, I gotta find it. It's probably on VHS somewhere.
That's for sure. It does not show it that it is streaming anywhere. I don't know. You might have to go to the depths of the internet.
It looks like it is available on YouTube in its entirety.
For free?
This guy's wearing a Nixon mask and American underwear. Yeah, it's free. It's like someone pirated it and uploaded it. Oh, my gosh.
Anyways,
watch out for my five-minute review.
Okay. Do it, and I will get it up as quickly as possible.
If you watch this movie, you might be able to get it up. Did it? Don't.
Anyways, I want to plug the music again. We give thanks to the alt hip hop New York based band Oxymorons for allowing us to use their music here on the podcast with the song Moon Chasers. Be sure to give them a like, follow, subscribe in the show notes. And Jeff, any words of wisdom?
Go check out my podcast chronologically wherever you get your podcast. And
oh yeah, I forgot to do that.
If you know of films like Three Way Weekend, shoot them my way on Twitter. What'd you say? At Podcast by Jeff, or tell Mark about them at I Heard You Liked. Also, you would like this movie. There's a lot of nudity, like right off rip. Anyway.
You're watching it right now.
I've got it on in the background. We're watching this movie. Like,
anyways,
go ahead.
Let's
get out of here.
Save it for your 5-minute review.
My mama said, "Don't forget to wear your jacket. The world can get cold, and every leaf in the breeze has a story that's told." Don't be scared to flap your wing, baby boy, you got soul. No matter what goes down, pony boy, you stay gold. We been chasing the moon, been chasing the moon. Father forever clumsy, always dropping the jewel. Mama was always on me, told me finish my food. My brothers was in the streets like Biggie, give me the loot. Mama, mama, yeah, papa, papa, yeah, wanted a doctor. I became a rocker, if I put my mind to it, y'all taught me to do it proper. I'm doing it for the culture, they doing it for the guaca. Watch out for the moon chasers now. Watch out where they coming through. Watch out for the moon chasers now. My mama said, don't forget to wear your jacket, the world can get cold. And every leaf in the breeze has a story that's told. Don't be scared to flap your wings, baby boy, you got soul. No matter what goes down, pony boy, you stay gold. I'm just an ordinary guy, doing ordinary things, living an ordinary life, in an extraordinary way. My mama said, don't forget to wear your jacket, the world can get cold, and every leaf in the breeze has a story that's told. Don't be scared to flap your wings, baby boy, you got soul. No matter what goes down, my mama said, don't forget to wear your jacket, the world can get cold.
morning.